That's right, folks. Week 8 is almost in the books heading into Monday Night Football, and we got some of the top takeaways from Week 8, including we're starting to get the feelings for Justin Fields. That's right, folks. We're looking for a second half breakout, looking for a monster second half from Justin Fields. We're going to break down a bunch of takeaways on today's shows. Before we do, we're going to talk about, make sure you follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. Make sure you're also going to Razzball.com. We are excited that we have rolled out the fantasy data tab. You just go to that tab. We have slot versus wide, points per game allowed. That's right. We have fantasy points allowed broken out for a slot and wide. Really helps with great matchups. We also have rest of season strength of schedules. We also have points per game data broken out by slot and wide. That's right. Razzball is leaning all into the fantasy data tab for the second half. So make sure you jump and go to Razzball.com and check it out. And of course, you're going to find great content over there as well. We have a great writer on today who does our starts of the week. He'll be on to talk a little bit about his takeaways for Week 8. Well, it's starting right now on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. That's right, folks. It's Monday. We got a pinch hitter. We got Jacob Charno. You can follow him on Twitter at Jacob Charno. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, man? Yeah, pinch hitter in this day with no baseball. God, yeah. I mean, that sucks. I was excited. Looking forward to this game, but I mean, nonetheless, we'll get it tomorrow. But I'm excited to be here, man. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, of course, dude. This is good stuff, man. Obviously, you know, so we're filling in the fantasy besties, typically handle our takeaways. This week, they got families. They got to do some Halloween stuff. So the young guns are coming in to really help out, talk about some Week 8 takeaways. Before we even get into our takeaways, Jacob, Monday Night Football is right around the corner. We got the Cleveland Browns. No, you know, the first game without Ja'Marr Chase. We also have, you know, the Cleveland Browns, you know, doing all right without Deshaun Watson, you know. But what's your – do you have any – pending any matchups on the line tonight? Do you have any players going tonight? What's the deal?
Yeah. So I got a little bit of the Monday night scares on Halloween tonight, man. I got, I need my tight end. I need Hayden Hurst. Me and my opponent are tied right now. And I need Hayden Hurst to outscore Nick Chubb. And if you believe that anything can happen, then anything can happen. And it's scary. It's scary. But yeah, tonight, I mean, any divisional matchups, they're usually fun. Bengals, Browns. I think Jacoby Brissett has been very underrated as his Browns quarterback so far as he's taken over. We only have to deal with him for a few more weeks, though, before he who must not be named comes back. yeah. And I think we all will feel a little weird about talking about him in a fantasy sense when he comes back. But it's a game. It's a business. So yeah. I'm sure we're gonna. For now, expect Nick Chubb to have a big night. The Bengals have not been able to stop the run. And I expect a heavy dose of T. Higgins and a heavy dose of Tyler Boyd tonight.
Yeah, I actually have my player prop of the night. I have so in California, we only use prize picks. So you can't, I can only get the parlay function. So I actually have T. Higgins over 5.5 receptions and Nick Chubb over 82 rushing yards. So I'm hoping for it. Let's see it. But now that you said that, I want just 20 carries for 100 yards, no touchdowns for Nick Chubb. Hayden Hurst, 5 for 50 in a tutty. And we got a victory, all right?
Beautiful, so beautiful. Actually, prize picks, I'm allowed, since I'm 18, I'm allowed to use prize picks here in New York at Syracuse. So tonight I got Nick Chubb to score a touchdown. I'm kind of hedging my fantasy team a little bit.
Yeah, makes sense.
T. Higgins over 74.5 receiving yards and Donovan Peoples-Jones over 44.5 receiving yards, a number that he has eclipsed the last three games. So I'm looking forward to hopefully that smacking tonight. But
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Week 8 was a lot of fun.
I have a couple matchups where I don't even want to get into it. It's very complicated. I got, you know, I'm up 30, but they got two or three guys going in multiple leagues. And I'm just kind of like, at this point, I don't want to even talk about it because I know.
Just turn your phone off. Just turn it off.
I'm going to lose by like 3 points in like the last drive of the fourth quarter. And then I'll just have to eat all the candy. I'll tell all the kids, get away. I'm eating the candy tonight.
Oh my God. You've never seen a man eat so many Kit Kats in his life.
Oh, God. All right, let's get into it. So let's talk top takeaways from Week 8 now. So what we did is I kind of just walked through some of this stuff, and I just want to talk about some of the key ones, some of them short-term, some of them long-term, but really some of the biggest ones, jumping right into it, the guy in the thumbnail, it's Justin Fields. And I just wrote he's a league winner in the second half. Like, the last two opponents, the Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys, were not easy opponents. Like, Dallas Cowboys have been very good pass rush. But what you saw, if you watched that game, they realized their protection around him. You saw Micah Parsons getting double teamed constantly. They realized that their offensive line, not the strongest, so they just started giving him extra blockers. And Justin Fields has responded. They're running the football with him. His upcoming schedule, the Dolphins, the Lions, and the Falcons. I mean, if you need a jump start to your fantasy team, I think Justin Fields is a rock solid pickup this week. I mean, if you haven't scooped him up already, if he's available, I'm spending decent fab because I think his dual threat capability could make him a league winner. What's your thoughts on Justin Fields?
Yeah, I mean, you look past fantasy and you looked and just watch his game film. He looks much more comfortable in the pocket. He looks much more comfortable in this offense, which is something that, he's struggled with. You watch him. He looks a little hectic. He's got some happy feet there. He's scrambling out when he's not being pressured. Now he's kind of containing himself in the pocket and moving around when he needs to, which is what you want to see from him. He has had two games in October with over 100 passer rating. He's getting those rushing yards. Like you mentioned, the rest of the year, you look at it, he's got two games against the Lions. He's got one versus the Packers and he's got one versus the Falcons, all of whom have been giving up a ton of points in fantasy. So is Justin Fields a league winner? If, you had a guy like, Matt Ryan or you have a guy who might have gone down. No one's off the top of my head right now coming to mind, but if you need a guy, and even if, you have a guy like, listen, I'm rocking Tom Brady right now in one of my leagues. I will absolutely take Justin Fields over Tom Brady right now. So yeah, will he be a league winner? I believe so.
I like it. All right, let's jump to the next one. Jonathan Taylor just re-aggravates the injury. He looks like he's going to miss some time again. Now, I know for fantasy purposes, Nyheim Hines would make the most logical sense to go pick him up. He's probably in most leagues taken. But I got to tell you, Nyheim Hines is not going to rush the ball 15 to 20 times in a game. And Sam Ellinger is now the quarterback. He's not a volume passer at all. So is Deion Jackson the guy that we want to kind of go pick up if he was dropped due to Jonathan Taylor being back? So my thought process with this one is I kind of want to take a speculative ad on Deion Jackson, but I don't think I'll feel comfortable starting anybody until I see how these things shake out. What are your thoughts on the Colts backfield if JT has to miss some weeks here?
Yeah, so the Colts are officially on my do not start list. I think this whole offense is too out of sync. Ellinger, whatever. I don't know if it's a soft G or hard G, but he looks he looks fine, right? He had a fine first game. But this offense is kind of out of whack right now. This Colts offensive line, which has been so renowned in the league for the last decade, all of a sudden is now not so good. Jonathan Taylor, it sucks. He was the number one pick. It's football. You can't predict injuries. But you look at this backfield, Nyheim Hines will be whatever, every time he's in, it's whatever. He has a few boom weeks here and there, but that's about it. Deion Jackson, I actually really do like. If you want to pick him up to stash him on the bench just in case something happens, go ahead. But I'm out on this Colts backfield for right now, for sure.
I agree there. Let's talk about that Sam Ellinger, hard G, soft G. We're not even sure. I think it's Sam Ellinger, but Ellinger? Colts wide receiver. Cool. Yeah, let's just go with this. So, Ellinger, I think at this point when you watched it, here's a couple of notes from the game. So, prior to this week, Matt Ryan was averaging 47 dropbacks per game. This week, it dropped all the way to 28 with Sam Ellinger. That led to almost 43 attempts per game by the Colts, dropped to 23. That volume completely cratered under Sam Ellinger. Plus, on top of that, he ran the ball six times. So Ellinger offers a different element now because he's able to move around a little bit. Matt Ryan was a pocket quarterback behind a bad offensive line. So we're seeing the pass volume crumble. However, the only bright spot is that Michael Pittman still had 9 targets in the game. But the other guys, Alex Pierce 5, Paris Campbell only had a handful. It just seems like to me that you got to essentially move Michael Pittman from a borderline wide receiver 1 to probably a low-end wide receiver 2, maybe even a wide receiver 3 with Ellinger. And I think Pierce and Campbell aren't worth the headache unless you see a scenario where maybe the Colts are getting blown out and they have to throw. But it's hard to predict those things. What's your thoughts on the first game of Sam Ellinger? I know they're on your do-not-start list, but what's your overall thoughts about these receivers?
Yeah, Pittman, I'm a Pittman owner in a lot of leagues. I was really high on him before the season because I thought he was going to have a Calvin Ridley kind of season with Matt Ryan. But now, I mean, listen, with Ellinger, he's still getting targets from what we've seen. You know, they didn't play a great team, right? But it's whatever. I think if you don't have Pittman, you're right. You said it perfectly. Low end wide receiver two area right now for me. But as long as he keeps this target volume and this, and you know, he had seven catches, as long as he keeps that going, he's still in that wide receiver two list for me. But other than that, you said it, Alec Pierce, Paris Campbell, unless you're in a 17, 18 man league, they're not worth the headache. Like you said, it's not worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. So next one is DJ Moore is back, and thank you, PJ Walker. It must be the initial thing. They both had the PJ DJ thing going on. I like that a lot because I don't know what it is sometimes. Hey, maybe some quarterbacks just realize I'm going to throw it to my best player. And that's pretty, it's pretty smart.
That's always nice, right?
Yeah, right. Like, so prior to these last 2 weeks with PJ Walker, he's only been in double digit targets once. He's been in back to back weeks with PJ Walker and he's responded. Now, of course, he takes off his helmet, throws the helmet away. They end up losing the game because of that. I don't care. It doesn't matter for fantasy football. None of us care for that sense. But it looks like PJ Walker at least says, I know where to go with the football on every time, and it's going to be DJ Moore. He's got Cincinnati, Atlanta, and Baltimore. All three of them are winnable matchups. So DJ Moore is back. Any thoughts about Moore? Are you buying this for season long? Or are you trying to sell high on DJ Moore rest of season?
Well, I feel – well, okay. So we'll start – I'll go a few places with this, Bobby. So – I love DJ Moore. We should have this talk on Wednesday because we don't know if DJ Moore is going to be a Panther by next week.
True.
So this is, let's say he's a Panther for the rest of the year. I love DJ Moore right now. I love the fact that PJ Walker is getting him the ball. And I think he's going to kind of meet that ADP of where people were drafting him before the season started. I think that's where he ends up finishing in that wide receiver two area, where he really hasn't been to start the season. But with PJ Walker, an underrated guy who is on the Panthers right now, a pass catcher that isn't named DJ Moore, who had the best game of his career was Terrace Marshall, who probably a guy who is not picked up in any of your leagues. But I think he's worth stashing. I think with the loss of Robbie Anderson and him no longer being on this team, Terrace Marshall starts to pick it up. So I think that's a name worth watching. And DJ Moore, it says it right there. He is absolutely back.
I like it. Well, I got to also say, and I think it's unfair because I didn't put this in my notes, but Terry McLaurin is the same thing. With Taylor Heineke, it seems like it's the same concept. And we'll talk about maybe crazy. A little bit. I know. It's just – Heineke has realized that McLaurin's his best playmaker. Yeah. For some reason, Carson Wentz did not pick up on that as well. So you could replace DJ Moore with Terry McLaurin. And I think that Heineke actually might be staying as the starter even when he's back healthy.
He's better. Yeah, than so, he's better. So I saw a great tweet about DJ Moore that was like, DJ Moore catching it, taking his helmet off so that the Panthers can lose this game just so he can get Bryce Young throwing him the ball next year was an absolutely top-notch play by him. Nice. And DJ Moore, listen, and for fantasy owners, he sent the game to overtime, so we got even more catches. So that's
unless you're betting the under, you loved every second of it.
Who bets DJ Moore is for the people.
Yeah, I know, for I love it. All right. Next one is the Patriots running back rotation. So I want to talk about this really quick because – the end of the game looked very heavy towards Ramadre Stevenson. He was up towards the 24, 25 touches, only 13 for Damian Harris. But I do want to point something out. Before the fourth quarter, they were in an even rotation, basically splitting work each drive. It actually was 13 touches. All 13 of Damian Harris's touches came in the first three quarters, and then they moved 100% to Stevenson in the fourth quarter, and he got like eight touches in the fourth quarter. So it was 17-13. Through three quarters of that game. And why I'm bringing this up is I think if you're struggling at running back, I think one of the cheaper guys you can go get right now that's going to get you a decent workload is going to be Damian Harris. I think a lot of people are scared off by him. Could he be even traded? I don't hear anything about Damian Harris being traded necessarily. But the other thing is he started the game. People don't realize he got the first touches at the running back position this week. So this could be another week of ramp up. He could get another 13 to 15 touches. You know, the Patriots like to run the football. They have a good offensive line. Now, I do like Stevenson as well, but here's a bad take that I don't care if it's a bad take, is that maybe Stevenson's a sell high. I think right now his value can't be any higher because of his recent production, but as it moves back to more of a 50-50 timeshare with Damian Harris, I don't think you're going to get – you could probably get – if you pair Stevenson with X, like an X wide receiver too, you can go probably get a guy like Eckler potentially from a team mm-hmm. or something like that. So
for sure.
I'm not saying you sell him on the low, but I think you could get some good value for Stevenson. What's your thought about the Patriots running back situation?
Yeah, I had to watch this game very closely because they were playing my Jets and it was painful. But listen, I watched Stevenson. I watched Mac Jones really prefer Stevenson in the passing game, which I think is very important to note. I've gone on record saying I'm not the biggest fan of Damian Harris in general as a running back. I think he's fine. I don't think that he's this over the moon guy. And I kind of think Stevenson is. I think that he's incredibly talented and he picks up extra yards, you know, when you're not expecting him to. But if this truly is a running back by committee, which and I speak on behalf of all fantasy owners when we say that we hate Bill Belichick because he is an impossible coach to have any player on this offense for. But man, I'll say I prefer Stevenson right now. But if you can pair him with, you know, whoever it is to go get a guy like Eckler, I'm absolutely doing it. But as an RB2, I'm pretty confident in Ramondre Stevenson right now.
Yeah, don't take what I'm saying. I'm saying I prefer Stevenson as well. He did get 3 screen passes, like you just brought up. He was being more utilized in the passing game, but even on routes run. 23 for Stevenson, 17 for Harris last week.
So it was
pretty close. And like I brought up earlier, Harris did not play in the fourth quarter, really. And Stevenson got most of the touches in the fourth when they're trying to close out the game against the Jets. So I think that we're heading towards a closer 50-50. Just a thought. Let's jump down to the tight end landscape in the second half. And I want to talk about a couple guys. Greg Dulcich, by the way, now he's running. He ran 2 less routes than Judy and Sutton. And like he is really doing. Like, you don't see that a lot from tight ends in general. And they're featuring him in the office. This kid hit the ground running. And I think we're starting to see a tide change at the rookie tight end. I think a lot of us last year were super high on Kyle Pitts, and we had too high of expectations for him. But he still had 1,000 yards receiving, which is pretty much unheard of. I think that you're seeing it this year. Daniel Bellinger, Greg Dulcich, Cade Otton, a bunch of guys who were pretty much not high draft picks are playing well in their first years. And I think Greg Dulcich is starting to really emerge, and I think he's going to be great in the second half. They do have a bye this week, though, so you might want to scoop up. The other one is Dalton Schultz I want to bring up really quick. Dak's back. Dak loves Dalton Schultz.
Yep.
Schultz is still coming back from his own injury, but he had six targets, six receptions last week for 74 yards on 18 routes. He wasn't even playing a full-time role yet because he's coming back from injury. Now he has the bye. I think he could go get Dalton Schultz for a pretty nice price. I would go get Dalton Schultz if you've been struggling with tight ends all year. I like him a lot. And the last one's Evan Ingram. Ran the second most routes on the team last week in a competitive football game. Now, we typically would say Evan Ingram gets a lot of routes when the Jaguars are behind, but they weren't. This was a good game against Denver, but he ran more routes than Christian Kirk, believe it or not, folks, and Marvin Jones in this game. So I think Ingram's also on the rise. He plays for Doug Peterson, who, by the way, loves tight ends. And I think that over the second half, he could be really solid. So out of those 3 guys, anybody stand out? Any thoughts on any of those tight ends?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll go with the first 2 that you named. Greg Dulcich, last 2 games, 10 catches, 138 yards. There's not much more to say about that. Russell Wilson in a struggling Broncos offense. This is important because when an offense is struggling and you watch Hackett and you watch what this offense has looked like, it's been very basic, almost high school-esque football. And he's taking the easy passes, and those are going to Dulcich. There was one drive where Dulcich had like 5 catches. So like, as this offense figures it out, I think Dulcich gets more touches, and which you love to see. And then Dalton Schultz, I mean, I've been writing about him. Me and him have had that start sit relationship for a little bit. A couple weeks ago, I had him on my sit list as a tight end when Cooper Rush was starting, and as soon as Dak came back, I put him on my start list, and he's gonna probably be on my start list going forward, depending on matchup and all that stuff. But yeah, we know Dak loves Schultz, and who has come at the expense of that? You know, it's gonna end up being probably a little bit of Michael Gallup, I would assume. Noah Brown kind of out of the picture at this point. It's, you know, in terms of tight ends, Schultz is a tight end one option going forward. I got a little bit off track, but yeah, that was the point I was getting at.
I like it. I like it. Ravens. Now let's talk about the Ravens skill position group. A lot of injuries, banged up. You know, Gus Edwards hurt his hamstring. He looks questionable at best for this week. I'll tell you right now, I dropped Kenyon Drake in all the leagues I had him. He's probably on waivers everywhere. I would say you should pick him up. The only issue with that is they play on Monday night this week. So if you're waiting for the Gus Edwards injury news, you're probably SOL if you start Drake. So I don't know if I'm really caring too much just yet. But if you're struggling at running back, Drake's probably on waivers. The next one's Rashad Bateman's going to be out a few weeks again. Devin Duvernay has been awesome when he's been out. DeMarcus Robinson really emerged this week, playing a lot more snaps out wide. But I think the biggest one is Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. I think, in my opinion, Likely is – there's not a lot of handcuffs for tight ends, but I almost feel like you might as well – if you are a Mark Andrews owner, you don't even have to worry about getting anybody else. And the best part is you can pick up Likely. He's pretty much not owned in most leagues. You can probably pick up Likely, put him on your bench. If Mark Andrews starts, great. You get Mark Andrews. If he doesn't, you just have – you have a guy who literally dominated last week. So I love Likely. I think he's a great pickup. But also with the Rashad Bateman injury, there's an outside chance he has flex value even if Mark Andrews plays. So what's your thoughts about the Baltimore Ravens skill position group? Anything you're doing for week 9?
Yeah, I think you said it best. Isaiah Likely is a really solid option. I think the only way in the backfield, if you go with Kenyon Drake, is if you literally only have Gus Edwards. Like, that's the only situation I can think of where it's worth it because they're playing on Monday night and you have to wait and you have to make those line decisions. But, you know, Bateman being out, it opens up, you know, a whole new world for some of these receivers. Devin Duvernay is a guy I think is incredibly underrated. I think he's an incredibly talented player. I love the idea of him getting more targets and getting some more catches, I guess, some more volume. But yeah, Isaiah Likely, he looked really good. You know, I'm thinking about these rookie tight ends now. What happened to Trey McBride? What's going on? Where did he go? What happened to him? He was my guy before the draft.
Yeah, I mean, he's buried behind Zach Ertz right now. Yeah. And now with all that going on, that's it there. But let's go jump out to the Rams running back rotation. Let's speed through these last couple ones here.
Sure.
Now, the Rams, I think a lot of people are up in the Rivers guy gets some run. You have Kieran Williams. I am probably in the minority when I say I think that I just brought up Damian Harris. One of my favorite low by lows is Darrell Henderson. I think this week they flat out said, oh, by the way, Darrell Henderson didn't play a lot because he's recovering from the flu and he didn't have the stamina and he was not feeling well pregame. So that's why he didn't start. That's why he played limited snaps. I think that Darrell Henderson, this is a win now football team. Now, I understand that Rivers was a nice player, but Rivers didn't do anything with his touches. And I know that Kieran Williams is a hypothetical great, but he had a bunch of setbacks why he's not back. My opinion is that
slow.
I just think that Darrell Henderson is probably – no one wants him right now, but he's the most likely guy for touches in this offense immediately. Mm-hmm. He's proven that he could be an RB2 when healthy last year without Akers. But what's your thoughts on this Rams running back rotation? Where do you land on all these guys?
Yeah, I agree. Darrell Henderson is the guy right now. Every time he's in, he produces. This Rams team, I'll say it, I just don't think they're that good. They haven't really proven to me that they can do anything explosive, kind of like the Bucks. But yeah, Cam Akers won't be a Ram by Wednesday. Kyren Williams is just, you know, he's not fast. He doesn't do much. That's really special. Darrell Henderson, he's familiar with the offense. We know McVay likes him. We know he fits well in his scheme. If you can get Darrell Henderson for cheap right now, he is absolutely an RB2 option / flex going forward for me.
Kieran Williams ready, 4.65, 40-yard dash.
He's like, that's not great. Not fantastic.
Ninth percentile speed score, 20th percentile burst score. But his comp is James White, which is a nice pass-catching back. So maybe there's a role for him in that spot.
Sure.
But anyway, let's move
on. He'll be a Patriot, and that Ramondre, Damian Harris talk can go right into the garbage when Kieran Williams is an all-pro.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about Taysom Hill. I just want to bring this up really quick because one of the things I noticed is that Kamara went off. Kamara, by the way, Mark Ingram got hurt this week. He's going to be out for a couple weeks. I think he got a high ankle sprain. He'll be out for a while. What I noticed right away is Alvin Kamara last year, early on in the year, before they traded for Mark Ingram, was getting crazy usage. I don't know if they think they can hold up Kamara to that kind of workload. The person that immediately, Dwayne Washington, got a few touches, but Taysom Hill got double-digit carries for the first time this season, and he was the one that iced the game for them in the second half. I think that Taysom Hill, because he's tight end eligible, could find himself into a little bit more touches each week, and I think that this might be a good thing for a flex option. Not a flex, but a tight end if you need to stream somebody. But any thoughts about Taysom Hill experience? Are you trying to ride that roller coaster anytime?
Yeah, why not? I'll jump on it because Taysom Hill, if he's tight end eligible and it's effing annoying if you're going against it and you don't have him, but the rules are the rules and that's not going to change. So Taysom Hill is a tight end, and he's going to get a lot of volume, like you said, with this Ingram injury. He's the guy. We don't know what Kamara's situation. I honestly doubt they trade him now because of this Ingram injury. And they need a running back, but Taysom Hill, especially with the lack of quarterback play, like of quarterback talent and all that in New Orleans, I like Taysom Hill going forward. I think he's absolutely worth having on your team.
The NFC South is completely up for grabs. I don't understand. They're like a game out, a half a game out right now. It doesn't even make any sense. So I don't think they're trading Kamara at all. But all right, let's shift down to the next one. Najee Harris is ceding work to Jaylen Warren. Now, this one's not as important. I just thought it was interesting because when the game got out of hand, they actually took Najee out and they went to Jaylen Warren. Now, listen, this is not anything urgent just yet because it came mostly in the fourth quarter, but I thought it's notable that they pulled the plug on Najee and Jaylen Warren looked better. He had more burst. I think he might be the new Tony Pollard. I think Jaylen Warren's going to be like everyone hates the guy in front of him, the plodding starter, not getting the big plays. And Jaylen Warren comes in and just brings a spark. But it's something to keep an eye on. Any thoughts about Najee Harris? You know, this season's been very disappointing and maybe potential Jaylen Warren as a flyer.
I don't know what's going on with Najee Harris, man. This is like he doesn't even look like a shell of what he was last year. Like this is – I've seen comps right now to Trent Richardson, to those guys. It's hilarious. But Najee, like, he's not hitting the hole as hard as he was last year. You know, he's kind of evading tackles, but he's not evading them. He's just kind of – it's like watching DeSean Jackson play where he just refuses to get tackled. Like, he just won't do it. He'll just go down. I don't know. I don't – like is this Jaylen Warren thing something to worry about? If you drafted him in the first round or second round in your redraft leagues, like you're screwed. But like, if you're, you know, a dynasty guy, are you getting rid of Najee Harris right now? I think I am. This is pretty urgent. Kenny Pickett, I'm sorry. I understand he's a rookie, but the early reaction has not been great for me so far. He just looks very overwhelmed by the game. And he's got some happy feet, too, in terms of scrambling.
All right, listen. Next one is the Commanders full-blown RBV. I'm just so fed up with this RBV.
I'm done with it. It's over. Every team's like, doing it. No more running backs in fantasy football by 2026.
Antonio Gibson has looked better. I feel like Antonio Gibson starts playing well when he's not. We're done with you, Gibson. Stop being around. And then he starts playing better. Now, Gibson.
He's like, screw it. I'm going to get a receiving touchdown. Because screw it. Yeah. What are you doing?
The thing is that this game was competitive, right? So I think the weirdest part is like I know that JD McKissick is going to be involved when they're down big, and I know that's going to happen. But when the games are closer, you would think, okay, this would be a game where you saw Brian Robinson maybe getting 15 to 20 carries, but instead he does not. He ends up splitting work almost 50-50 with Antonio Gibson. Now, listen, two games before that, you know, Brian Robinson's up in the high teens and almost gets 20 carries in one game, but he doesn't look that good. He hasn't been that good. Now, I think the problem is Antonio Gibson has looked good. And I think the problem is now they have a two down thumper in Brian Robinson. They have a hybrid in Gibson, and then they have a passing down back in JD, and they're going to use it to their advantage. So it's nice for the Commanders, not great for fantasy. So what's your thoughts about Brian Robinson and company at the Washington backfield?
Yeah, I think Washington kind of punted on the season after Ron Rivera was like, I hate my quarterback. So that's whatever. But, listen, it's an awesome story with Brian Robinson. It's a miracle he's in playing football right now. But like, that's the reality, man. The reality is that Antonio Gibson has looked better than him. He has. He looks like the better running back. I don't understand why they're not trusting him. I love Gibson. I think that he has become underrated, and he's become overhated for sure. This is I'm you're right. I'm so fed up with this running back by committee, because God, every team is going to have one by like 2026. We're not going to be able to have any running backs. We're just going to have to draft backfields. That's what it's going to be.
All flex positions. That's going to be 9 flex spots in the future. That's gonna
exactly
be fancy football.
Oh God, that's the future of it, man. But we'll have to start adjusting now on the website. It's going to be going to be tough.
Oh yeah. All right, my last one I want to talk about today is just Andy Dalton, Taylor Heinicke. And the reason why I'm bringing these guys up, number one, they've looked better. I mean, listen, Andy Dalton's really kind of looked solid in his New Orleans starts. I know just 2 weeks ago he threw a bunch of picks, but listen, talking from fantasy, he throws 2 pick sixes, and then guess what? He throws for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's what I'm talking about. Like, give me some garbage time production. But this week looks very good against the Raiders. But I want to bring these guys up for one specific reason. They're getting reinforcements. Like, very, very soon, Andy Dalton could have Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry. So you have Landry, Thomas, Olave with Juwan Johnson, and Adam Trautman with Kamara in the backfield. Dalton goes from having like a very average skill position group to probably one of the better ones in football. And now he's putting up 225 and 2 isn't great, but you start giving him elite weapon options like that, he could be someone you could stream in good matchups a lot more than you already have. Taylor Heinicke, same thing. Last year, I know we have an idea of Heinicke, but Jahan Dotson's a difference maker on the outside, and Logan Thomas barely played last year. So I think that from that standpoint, you could see Logan Thomas, Dotson with Curtis Samuel in the slot and Terry McLaurin. Taylor Heinicke's putting up numbers right now, and he doesn't have all those weapons just yet. So I do think that both these guys are going to become more fantasy relevant down the stretch if those players come back healthy. Any thoughts about these guys before we close the show?
Yeah, Andy Dalton. I've always been a fan of Andy Dalton, but with those reinforcements coming back, I like him going forward. He could absolutely be a guy you could stream, and I'm a Taylor Heinicke homer, I guess you could say. I'm one of his biggest fans. I love him. I think he's one of the coolest dudes in football. But I'm still iffy on him in terms of starting him in fantasy, but I would love to get his jersey. So I'll end with that.
All right. Well, Jacob, that's it. Those are our takeaways from week 8. I appreciate you jumping on. Before we go, why don't you tell the people where they can find your content, what you got writing for this week, everything you got going on. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. So you could check me out on Twitter at Jacob Charnow, Instagram at Hard Count Football. You could check out the Hard Count Football podcast on YouTube. Be sure to go subscribe over there. This week, as always, I got my start sits on Razzball for week 9. It's pretty exciting. We did pretty well this week. We did pretty well last week. I'm kind of on heater. So we could keep it cruising, hopefully, into week 9. But Bobby, I always appreciate you letting me come on here. It's a blast. I love talking football, love talking fantasy with you guys. And just go ahead and check out my content.
I like it. All right, Ethan John's got a quick question. You have about 60 seconds to plug it in here while I close out the show. But go ahead, Ethan, if you want to go it. Once again, this is the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube. Make sure you guys go follow us on Razzball.com. We have a great source of resources that you need. Fantasy Data Tab has everything you need for slot first wide. Trust me, go check out all our great writers over on Razzball.com as well. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby Lamarco. You can follow me at Bobby Lamarco on Twitter. I want to thank my co-host again at Jacob Charnow. You can follow him at Jacob Charnow on Twitter. Well, it's in. He got it in. Should there I trade go. Lenny for Stevenson and Jacoby Myers? Lenny Fournette for Stevenson and Jacoby Myers. I would be okay with it. It depends. Ethan, you're going to have to tell us who your receivers are, because Myers is solid, but he's not necessarily a difference maker at receiver. He's probably a low end wide receiver too. Quick thoughts.
Hit it. Yeah, absolutely. And hit us up. Hit either of us up on Twitter with your full lineup, I guess, because I know we're close to this thing out. So I'll be more than glad. I'm sure we both will to answer that on Twitter or wherever, or a comment on one of our articles or whatever it is. I would do that. If it's just that and your receivers are okay, I would pull the trigger on that trade.
I agree. We're pulling the trigger. That's it, folks. Thank you for joining. We are at